Welcome, one and all, to Ladies with Gumption, episode 211, Supermassive Black Hole. I feel like, even though...
We started
after the show started, but I feel like we have more episodes than the show does.
So we do.
That's what's snazzy of us. And who are we? The Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash. I'm Tatiana, and I'm here with...
Jessica
and May.
And you can find us at DCTV Gumption on Twitter. You can send us feedback for the last time next week. I guess after that we'll be doing other stuff. But you can send us flash feedback for the last time next week on ladieswgumption@gmail.com or ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. And you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and Patreon for the low, low price of $10 a month, where we'll talk about anything and everything, including MCU, HBO Max, Netflix series, etc., etc., etc. And that's patreon.com/DCTVGumption. And we will be very happy to receive your funding. All right. So now news. I did not know this, but my namesake, Tati Gabrielle, is in talks to play Jade in Mortal Kombat 2.
Is she really?
Oh my god, that's amazing.
I saw that today.
I love her.
I love her too. And that would be fabulous. I support her, even though I don't really care about Mortal Kombat, but I'd love to see her employment. Gainfully employed.
Because they're doing Mortal Kombat 2, the movie, but they're also promoting Mortal Kombat 1 is a new reimagining of the game.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of Mortal Kombat 1 and a lot of Mortal Kombat 2. It's like, how does 2 come out before 1? It's like, you know. This is the movie, and these are the games, so.
That could
it's
be
interesting that they're announcing this amidst the writer's strike and a potential actor's strike.
Well, they also announced casting Carl Urban as Johnny Cash.
Right.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. That's interesting. Okay. Well, I guess they're just really saying, we are doing this one way or another. Also, I would like to note that in a recent interview, Tati Gabrielle said that she liked K-dramas, specifically True Beauty, and that she loved Cha Eun-woo. Thank you. That is all. Also, Song Kye-kyo from The Glory. So she just has excellent taste, and we stan.
This is why you guys share a name, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. A name and a brain.
K-dramas.
In other news, much sadder news, Carlos Valdez is not coming back for the series finale. He's not going to come back with Flash. Cisco has disappeared forever. He said that the reason was scheduling, they couldn't make it work.
They could have scheduled a Zoom call.
Exactly. They could have scheduled a Skype session. Please, let's be honest. He could have done a little ADR voiceover, whatever. Sure. So it's fine. We'll just have to just accept that there is no Cisco. It is very sad. We all weep. Also, there was an article, actually, from EW, Entertainment Weekly, about, when and why all of the stars wanted to leave The Flash. And I guess it was pretty much, Carlos said that it was, it's better for his mental health to not be there. And Candace and Grant had both wanted to leave in season 8. So, yes, and are happy to, and also, Grant was I've started a new, phase in my life, and I want to be there with my family and whatever. So they were, luckily, the time that Grant wanted out coincided with, Candace would have left either way, so she was glad Grant was also leaving, and then the show was leaving anyway, so we all left together.
I mean, at that point, the show didn't have a choice, you both really are gone.
Yeah.
No, come on, I am positive, I'm 100% positive Eric would have been let's just make it this a seal.
I know.
That's true. He was like, oh, he sounds so disappointed about there not being a season 10. I was like, sir, would you have continued? Of course you would have.
Yes. He would have loved
it. Definitely would have not continued. No.
They'd be what are we? I mean, maybe if they could get both Jordan, which would have been possible, and Jessica Parker Kennedy, then maybe they would have had them be The Flash, but
I feel
whatever.
Like
who would have watched?
Would still be Allegra and Chester.
Wants that. No one wants that. So they made the right call.
If it was cheaper than Gotham Knights, even still.
Yeah.
So I feel like a spin-off comic or something that with Nora and Bart would be fine, but not continuing on without their parents on the show. That's just ridiculous.
Also, side note, two other shows that have been in development with CW are no longer moving forward. One of those was the Powerpuff Girls, which honestly, I think is for the best. Like, seeing that initial script and where they're trying to go with it, it was just not great first off the bat. And then the other one was Diggle's Teen Titans University
Justice U.
Yeah, which I would have think that, you know, either Jordan or like Jessica Parker Kennedy could be on, you know, merge that and that have that be kind of a inverse connection with them going to Justice U or whatever, but that's not happening either. So
with the Flash ending, the CW2 is crumbling at our feet.
I was going to say, they just decided to fold the entire thing so as to not have to do the next season of Flash without Barry and Iris. They're like, you know what? Let's just shut down the whole network.
Let's shut it down. They're like, we don't have the talent anymore. What will we do?
Exactly.
Die.
Now we will move on to the meat of our episode, which is the episode. And May is going to take us through the recap, the joys and no joys, the feedback, and the Lady with Gumption nomination of the second to last Lady with Gumption nomination ever for The Flash. Tears for Fears. Take it away, May.
I actually wrote down a synopsis this time, so I'm proud of myself, and you all won't have to suffer through my terrible summary. Team Flash realizes that Barry is headed to 2049 after he disappears from Iris' hospital room, so they come up with the idea to have Cecile project her consciousness into her 2049 self, because that is how powerful she apparently is. Meanwhile, Nora is possessed by the blue crystal that pushes Eddie towards saying yes, because the negative speed force needs his consent to use him as the avatar on Earth. Barry finally appears in 2049. He's like, you know, I will do terrible things. I still need you to say yes. Barry does finally appear in 2049, like 20 minutes into the episode, and realizes that Eddie is back, and also realizes that the negative speed force brought him back to life, and it wasn't that he got sucked into the singularity and into 2049. Eddie is in denial, thinking that he could have had everything that Barry had, had he not sacrificed himself for nothing, because Reverse Flash told him that he wouldn't be remembered, and it seems to have all been true. So he decides to go visit Iris in 2049 and tries to ask her to marry him for some reason, only to be rejected by Iris because she confirmed that she does love Barry and her family and life they have built together, and that Eddie can start a new life, but it cannot be with her. Eddie gets pissed off, and so he goes and accepts the negative speed force's invitation in an attempt to get his life back and destroy Barry's legacy. In a less important storyline, Cecile realizes that the 2049 version of her is not a great parent at all, and she basically sees Joe and Jenna twice a year with no mention of Joni. And she is torn about the choices that she's made in the past and the path that's led her on to her future, but Chester pep talks her and tells her that, you know, she can make a different choice if she wants to, and he trusts that she will, but she will not. Probably. And that is what you miss on Glee. What sparked joy?
The part that we didn't get enough of, and which is like the Iris, Barry, Eddie kind of like triangle of it all. I think it was really interesting. When actually, and Corbra like finally kind of believes, you know, there's something going on with Eddie, and then she gets sucked up into the singularity. And he's like, "Oh, what's happening?" His slow like freak out, I thought was pretty fun, especially like after he, you know, he goes to Star Labs to try and figure things out. It was really funny when Chester is like, who would go here to look the Flash Museum to look for the Flash? And then immediately Eddie was like, I'm looking for the Flash in the Flash Museum. I thought that was funny. But it leading to him meeting Barry and you know, the whole, again, like, unraveling of Eddie as he's talking to Barry about how his sacrifice didn't mean anything and how Barry stole his wife, his life, and everything, but he could get it back. And he's saying this to Barry, like, this was a great idea. Like, I can get my life back. And I can, and Barry's like, I don't like that shit. Like, Iris is my wife, Dora is my daughter. So, I mean, that was kind of funny. But then he was, like, trusting Eddie to make, like, the right decision. And, like, Eddie is kind of, like, going back and forth in this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing about being good Eddie, and then, you know, the voice in his head making him be delusional Eddie, which I feel like we should have heard that voice more, because that would have, like, hyped up the delusions of grandeur. I like that. I'm actually fine that President Iris wasn't really in this episode, because if Barry's not going to be there with her when she's in labor, what is the point? But I do like that we got future Iris, got to see her, got to see her interact with Eddie, got her to confirm that we are not in 2019 anymore. It is not screw the future. It is, I love my husband and I love the life that I have for myself. It was always Barry. So that was great to have that kind of confirmation, to bring up specifically those lines from season one, and to have the answer coming from Iris was really good. Because Eddie needed to hear it. Some fans needed to hear it strictly from her mouth, that it was always Barry. I love that she even got a chance to talk to present Barry, because usually when Barry has gone to the future in the past, he never gets to talk to Iris. So that was great that she came to see him at Star Labs, and they had the conversation, and he was just like, man, you still look so beautiful, even now. And so that was really sweet. And for her to give him confirmation as well that you don't have to be afraid of not being around in the future anymore. We are happy. I do still love you. We are, you know, living our life together. So Barry's had this kind of like, you know, the Cobalt has taken him to the past. He's got closure there, forward to the present, where he can see where his life is, like, starting with his baby and with Iris, and now into the future, confirmation that his life will be good. So I feel like that was a great kind of like connection. At least the Cobalt thing was like good for something, was getting Barry these like little points in his life, to know that he's lived a good life, or he's going to live a good life. So that's pretty interesting. I thought that having Nora back was fun, and having her, I wish we could have like something where they could all, like, Nora and her mom and her dad in the same situation, in the same frame in the future, would have been cool. But just seeing her, have her be like the body for the Avatar this time, I think they've done a good job of picking, or I guess Cobalt's done a good job of picking different people, and like manipulating the target. So when she was like berating Eddie for being like pathetic, and he's like, you want me to hurt your dad? Like, I don't understand. all of that was kind of fun. Yes.
Beautiful. Okay, so I enjoyed all of the, I enjoyed most of the Eddie stuff. I thought Rick did a great job, and it was fun to get to see some evil Eddie, some crazed Eddie, and to get to see Iris, you know, receive attentions and get to voice her, you know, obvious choice of Barry and go back to the beginning and rectify the, like, you know, hanging thread from season one of whether or not she would have chosen Barry over Eddie or not if she had actually had the opportunity to make that choice down the line. So that was all great. Jessica Parker Henry was a lot of fun. I love the Party City blonde wig Nora, as well as... as well as,
I love how the Flash is like these white men's jeans do not matter.
Exactly. They're like, it's interchangeable. It just changes her hair color.
It's the same. It's just, you know, white guy. Doesn't matter.
They're like, it's all Iris. How also, I just cannot get over the fact, this is like not a positive, but it did bring me joy, that Eddie was like, fuck Bart. I only want Nora. I don't need a son. He literally erased him from the family photo. Like, they couldn't
just like that bad edit did in the.
Yeah. So that was so funny. He was like, I just want one child.
I just want Photoshop.
Exactly. So anyway,
thought Bart was like a fluke. He's like, one child, you know, that could have been me. Two children, that means you really love Barry. I don't want him.
Yeah. He's like, I don't even acknowledge the second one. But yeah. And also, it was a lot of fun to get to see possessed Nora. Like, I like that she was kind of channeling being the Avatar. And in fact, they had me going, like, I thought she really was going to end up being, like she was going to take over as the Avatar instead, because Eddie rejected it. I thought that could happen. And I was like, that's actually more dramatic and interesting. But, you know, whatever. At least they did have, like, an interesting little showdown. Also, what else is joyful? I did love that Barry and older Iris had that nice moment together, and Barry just loves all Irises all the time. I'm sure he could have been like, oh, I see that your husband's not around right now. Why don't I just stay? And then she'd be like, your wife is literally in labor right now. Okay, fine.
You know, this is like, are they going to kiss? Like, is she going to kiss her younger husband? I thought it was funny when she's like, seeing like this is weird. Which it is.
Yeah. It's very time traveler's wife of them.
Yep. So that was great. I also shout out to like that scene with Barry and Eddie, where, you know, it just felt very emotional, so very realistic, and they really condensed like the whole like dynamic that they could have had or did have for parts of season one into that scene. And I felt bad for Eddie, and also I kind of was like happy, I guess, that Barry was like, I respect the, you know, your sacrifice and whatever. So yeah, all that was good. Was there anything else? I feel like, I guess that's it. I guess that was the things I liked. Yay!
Beautiful, beautiful. I guess starting backwards, I really liked the fight between Barry and Nora. Like, we haven't seen two speedsters kind of, like, chasing each other in so long. I was like, oh, this is so much fun. And, like, the change in her lightning to blue was really visually exciting. And it was just, like, nice to see kind of Barry having to face an evil version of his daughter, a possessed version of his daughter, while trying not to hurt her. Because there was a scene where Nora's like, you know, you're gonna have to kill your daughter. He's like, no, I won't do it. So all of that was great. I think it was fantastic dramatic tension. I really liked all the Eddie scenes in terms of like the way it was handled, because I thought that the conversations were probably gonna be worse than they were. But like Barry being, you know, happy to see him, and being, and him, both him and Iris can be like, we're gonna help you, you can have a new life, just not with Iris, but you can have a new life, it can happen for you, you know. But I feel like it's so interesting too, it comes full circle in terms of like Barry having felt bad about people either dying for him or losing people, but in this instance it was like, you know, you did sacrifice yourself, but he's not like feeling bad about it, because it was Eddie's choice to do that very thing. And at the end of the day, it was like Eddie wanting to be a hero for Iris. But I like how they brought back, you know, the conversation that he had with Thawne all those years ago about him not being remembered, kind of being like a loser, basically, like, or not having the type of life that will be as appreciated as maybe he thought. So bringing that back made sense for the escalation of him wanting to become one with the negative speed force. The conversation with Iris was really good, because I feel like since season one, and we've had, you know, a lot of it this season as well, the whole fight against destiny, you know, like the whole screw the future idea was like her rebelling against the fact that, oh, she does choose Barry, so like I want to make my own choices. So now we know that that was the choice that she made to stay with Eddie at that time, was basically because she wanted to like make her own choice and not have to be pushed into doing something that maybe she was not ready to do yet. But it was nice to have the conversation be about like, it was always going to be him, regardless of how long that took, you know, it wasn't going to be me and Eddie. And that was just really great to have, even though, you know, I don't think we always needed it, but like, it's nice to have the conversation for those who thought that somehow Iris would marry Eddie and have blonde Nora. Barry and Iris' conversation was really great. I love that he told her, like, she still looks beautiful, because I don't think he's ever said that on the show. Like, we know he knows this, but I don't think that the word beautiful has ever come out of his mouth towards Iris on the show. So that was really nice. And
Eddie also called her beautiful. And I was like, two compliments in one episode? Oh, my God.
She's sent us to the good girl, you know? Everybody wants Iris. So
Iris is bringing all the boys to the yard.
So, like, all that was great. And just Iris wanting to also help Eddie, but being firm in her decision, like, and, you know, being happy in her life with Barry was nice. To confirm to him and also to confirm to Barry that, yes, we do live a great life, and it's just all the feels. What else? I like Jessica Parker Kennedy's, like, evil version of Nora. I think that she was great in every scene, because she actually got to have, like, some meaty stuff going on there, and her conversation with Eddie and just calling him all the names, and then her fight with Barry was just all excellent. What else? I guess, like, confirmation that Nora is, like, becoming a team leader in the future is really nice.
Like, growth for her. Same team, but, you know,
I know. I don't know. But yeah, I think, like, definitely the triangle and, like, the escalation of Eddie becoming Cobalt Blue and then kind of, like, raising the stakes and having explanations was really great. But what did not spark joy?
I'll say before I go into that, I think it's also just an interesting concept. And I guess what doesn't spark joy about it is that they could have done more with it. Eddie, when he went into the singularity, he's in 2049. He's been in 2049, but he's been living in, like they said, the Cobalt reality is, like, a false reality that was built for him. And so now that he is, like, fully aware, he's still in. When did the show debut? 2017?
The show?
2014. He's still back there, and it's just like, this happened to me yesterday. So obviously, me and Iris are still in the same place. Yet, when he goes to, like, Iris in the future, this has been, you know, 40, almost 50 years that have passed by. She's lived an entire life. So obviously, she's not in the same space. So him, like, being super confused and thrown off by, you know, he's been practically in a coma for the last couple decades, and waking up to this new reality and that being kind of hard and feeling, like, displaced from it, I think is kind of interesting. And I wish that they had more episodes in this season to kind of explore that, because I do feel like the Dr. Jekyll and Hyde-ness of his reactions got pretty ridiculous at sometimes, because he was like, Barry, save me! Barry, you stole my life! And we're just like, go back and forth, like, I want to do the right thing. He's like, actually, I want to, like, steal your life and take your wife. You know, it was just like a back and forth. And sometimes it came off, it made him look a little ridiculous, like the fact that him, like, going to Iris and, like, we can be together now, and her being like, you know, what? You know, so I feel like if we had more, if the voice in his head was, like, a constant thing that we could, like, hear, because we heard it sometimes, like, questioning or contradicting Barry or whoever's talking to him, but then a lot of times it was going on internally, and it just felt like he would just, like, flip. But if we had more time, I think, with him, you know, maybe even trying to have a new life, or, you know, if he took Barry and Iris up on their initial offer to try to move on, and that just not really working for him, I feel like that could also have led to his frustration, especially if he was still hearing, like, the voices in his head. That could have been, you know, that could have, I would have preferred to see that, rather than some of the filler episodes that we've had over the course of the season. So that was one thing, even though I liked the scenes of them, I feel like we could have got a lot more of it, not just in the season, but also literally in this episode. Like, from the trailer, or even from the previous episode, we know he's going for 2049. We know that's where, you know, Eddie is. Now Eddie knows. The whole hype of the next episode should have been Eddie and Barry, like, reconnecting Eddie and Iris and figuring all of that out. And instead, we didn't really get to see Barry until, like, 20 minutes into the episode, like Mai said. And even when we get into Eddie meeting Barry, or even Eddie meeting Nora, it didn't really feel like it was still a C-plot in their own show. And so, like, that was really annoying for the next to last, the penultimate episode of the series, and for it to, the main purpose of the storyline is a Barry, Iris, and Eddie storyline, and to only get, have that have, like, a third of the screen time is ridiculous. What also annoyed me is a lack of imagination in 2049. Like, an iPad on the outside of the house is supposed to be 2049 technology? Like, come on. The fact that Star Labs looks exactly the same, the museum doesn't even, it is the hall with, like, stuff. It's a very ghetto-looking museum. Like, I feel like the Flash Museum should look better than that. And then Star Labs looks the same. The fact that Iris is in her, like, mid-50s and has, like, a gray wig, unless Barry is stressing her out that much, she should not have, like, 50. But then Cecile should be pushing, like, 70s, you know, mid to late 70s, and she's barely has any gray hair, still looks the same. Is also, like, ridiculous.
Still wearing leather.
Chester doesn't look any different. Allegra has, like, longer hair, but the only thing that we find about them is, like, they're married. Like, it looks like they also transplanted into 2049. Like, the whole team was able to, like, jump, but that shouldn't be the case. And they also should not be there. It's been 20 fucking years. Like, grow up, move on. Cisco did it. Why is this still the same team? I can see if, like, Chester is now the Wells of Star Labs and running comms for Nora, but Cecile, her old ass should definitely not be there. Allegra should be having a job and a career at CC Media. She shouldn't be there. These people are stuck in this one environment, and that is lazy writing. It's lazy that 2049 doesn't look any different than 2022 or 2023. It's lazy that the people don't look any different. It's lazy that Iris is the only one, because I guess they'd already established her having gray hair by then. But the fact that they didn't age up any of the other characters, the fact that Cecile doesn't go home. She only goes home, like, twice a year to see her child and her father. Like, I feel like Joe has a different family at this point. Like, he has moved on. They're not together. They're just, like, co-parenting. Because, like, what the fuck? That and the moral of that, her story being like, it's okay to be an absent parent. And the fact that they even bring up Joni, because this is already proven. Like, she said that this is a proven circle for her. I thought she was going to bring up the fact she wasn't there for Joni, but she brought up something else. it's just like, I don't know. It's weird how much was spent on Cecile in this episode. Even Cecile taking, like, the lead position in the episode. Like, this is a thing that Cisco could have done if they hadn't run off Carlos Valdez, and he could have been the leader in the situation, not Cecile. It could have been, you know, not Allegra, because she's supposed to be at the hospital, but she's also, like, you know, has to be at CC Media. It could have been Caitlin if she wasn't Eric's least favorite snow sister and had killed her off. Kion can't do it because Kion is, like, a goddess, but she also just got here. So, like, she's not really capable of having that leadership quality. Chester is Cisco's replacement, but Chester also couldn't do it because he should be the one to do it, because he has the most, like, technical experience, but he also just doesn't have the leadership kind of personality, which if they had been focusing on him, they could have developed that, because he sure had a lot of opportunity to become more comfortable in his role. But it should not be Cecile. Cecile really shouldn't, and this whole going towards her becoming, like, a superhero and all this kind of stuff, you know, some people brought up her superhero name and powers and stuff, virtue. There's actually a virtue empath type hero in the comics, who is a lesbian and who leads some other groups. They kind of, like, stole that story to make Cecile more important than she should be in the Flash in the second to last episode of the series. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Keanu didn't even have, like, Danielle didn't even need to work that episode because she did nothing except stand in place and say, like, two lines. So they didn't even utilize the quote-unquote goddess, most powerful whatever that they have in this episode, because they wanted to upgrade Cecile. So we lost out on Eddie Barry Iris for a character that no one cares about.
And has been labeled one of the 11 most annoying characters in there.
But she was too high up on that. Like, she was up near the end of the list, but she should have been down near, like, the front of the list. Like, it's annoying at this point. It's very... I don't know why Eric thought, like, yeah, let's do season 10, when it's nothing about his character, the title characters of the show, and it's just characters that he likes. I don't blame Grant and Candace for wanting to leave, because why stay? I probably have more to say, but I'm going to stop right now.
Well, everything that you said is absolutely correct. Just the biggest thing that we keep talking about, we keep going back to, is why are the storylines broken up in this way? Why have you chosen to, like, you know, section off the seasons and tell a very, like, basic, superficial version of what could be an interesting story in a couple episodes, and then just have random-ass interludes for the majority of the season, and then tell this big Eddie story that could have been, this could have been the whole season. The whole season could have been Cobalt Blue, and it should have been, because they teased it last season. So why would you do that and then wait until 4 episodes until the end? And then of those 4 episodes, 3 of them were, like, exposition to get us to him actually taking on the mantle of Cobalt Blue. And now he's going to get taken down in one episode. So it's, like, the lamest version of a villain story that you could have given Eddie. And to try to smush together, like, Eddie was a hero. He sacrificed himself to stop Reverse Flash. And everyone remembers him fondly, right? And so then in 1 hour, you've gone from that to, like, oh, well, Iris has rejected me 40 years later, so I guess I'm gonna be evil and take over the world. Like, that's so disrespectful to Eddie as a character and his story and, like, whatever. Just, like, not that I personally, I'm not, like, an Eddie stan, but still, like, that was one of the few, you know, just, like, destroying everything that has come before.
That's what I was saying. All of his, like, personality switches, like, got, like, yeah, ridiculous at some point.
Right. Like, and there was that moment where he was just, like, yelling at the screen, at the camera, about how it's his time, and he's like, okay, use me, or, like, whatever. And I was like, this is so embarrassing for Rick. For the writers, for everybody involved, this is so bad. I feel like so much could be fixed by just giving storylines time to grow and shine. But whatever, that's fine, I guess. Do what you gotta do. Then, I also agree, it's a penultimate episode, and Barry didn't show up until halfway through it, and then he was immediately knocked out by his daughter. He got to do stuff after, but still, I was like, okay, how interesting that Barry is barely in his own show for 2 of the 4 last episodes, because he was only in, like, 2 scenes the week before. And then, of course, Iris, we barely got to see future Iris. She was just, like, sitting at home.
Like, and why are they still in the loft? Like, they have, yeah. That should be, like, Nora and Bart's loft. Okay. Right. You know,
I thought it was last season, right? Like, it was very much implied that they were there. Yes.
On their loft. You know that it was, like, specifically their loft. Or, like, why is she sitting
and
there?
And weren't,
like,
we told that Joe was going to leave? Yeah, like, Joe was going to leave the house to Barry and Iris, but I guess he never does because Cecile will not vacate it. I'm sure that Allegra
no, like, Eddie's living in that house.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, why? How did that happen? It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so yeah, again, I've already... Last week, I already complained about the absolute lack of effort put into 2049, and you've already reiterated that, like, nothing changes except for Iris's hair. There's no way to tell that this is a different year, except for the fact that they told you that it was a different year. And I don't even know what the reason for it was, other than, I guess, to see Nora. But, like, Nora could have still come to the past. Like, whatever. There was no reason for it. And also, it would have made a little bit more sense if Eddie had come before they had had their whole life. Like, why? Why did the negative speed force singularity, whatever, drop him off in that year? It's just, and if they had dropped him in that year, why wouldn't the Barry from that year be dealing with it? Like, it's just stupid. It was, like, a weird force, and I don't even know what the purpose, what they were trying to force. So, like, makes it just all the more just, like, totally arbitrary. Speaking of totally arbitrary, they gave Kyon the powers of a literal goddess last episode. She is Mother Earth now. And then this week, nothing comes of that, and they're like, you know who is the only person who could help us in this moment? It is Cecile. Cecile must take on this burden. I was like, okay, so what's the point of Kyon being excessively overpowered other than to kill Mark, but not really? And then Cecile's whole storyline, I just don't care. I don't care. First off, like, even if it was vaguely compelling to see whether or not Cecile wants to be a good mother or, like, a vaguely decent superhero.
She should have.
Yeah! Like,
it was not motherhood.
Yeah, why would that be what you focused the second to last episode on? And why would you have Chester, like, reaffirm so, like, aggressively that, like, it's cool, your family knows that you love them? Also, like, who wouldn't want to be a superhero were his arguments? And they framed that like it was a really beautiful, I don't know, empowering... Oh.
I saw this. I'm sure if I find the person that tweeted this, I will bring it up. But there's, like, you know who's virtuous? A person that has a job. He's a director of CSI. He is a good father. He is a full-time superhero. And he can do all of those three things. And that's Barry. And that's none of what Cecile is doing.
Right. Yeah. So, like, why is it that Barry can do that and Cecile can't? Literally just because she's chosen Central City to be the place that she fights crime? Like,
yeah, that's
she
not can't... the only place crime fighting. You
exactly.
Know?
Why can't she fight crime at her where she lives now? Like, what is the problem? What is happening?
Girl who writes Nora on Twitter: devoted husband, loving father, dedicated CSI, and full-time hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he can do it all. He can go to space and still be a dedicated father. So whatever. Just dumb and weird and stupid. And then, yeah, Chester and Allegra, whatever. I guess they're fine. But like you said, why are they still there? Why don't they look any different? And why is Cecile, like, third wheeling in their marriage instead of living, like, throne?
To her own.
It's like, oh, you guys are so cute. I was like, okay, but where's Joe?
Yeah, right. You could be cute too, Cecile, I guess. You could be old people in love, but you're not. So, yeah, I hope that Kramer is over there taking care of business. Because Kramer would be able to do both.
I think she is. I think she's with Joe in the country. Yes, exactly. And that's why Cecile goes twice a year.
So, yeah. I don't think I have anything else to say other than it's just this storyline is one that we have been waiting for so long, like Eddie being Cobalt Blue, and it could have been so much better. And the version of it that I imagined in my head is so much better than what they have given us. And it wasn't all that, you know, high tech in my head. It was very simple, but I still could not achieve that same level. So, very sad for me. Very sad. It was all right, though. I'm, like, not, like, I sound much angrier than I am. I'm not, like, God, this is the worst. But it just feels like we're ending on a whimper and not a bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and I feel like a broken record at this point because I keep saying pacing. It's all about pacing, and it doesn't feel like this season was paced at all well. There were certainly highs and lows, but, like, cohesively there was nothing in terms of, like, Eddie's story. And I feel like, I mean, you said it all, Tati, about, like, building it up and stuff, because right now I don't feel like, you know, apparently the timeline is getting all wonky and it's being threatened, but I don't really feel that it's being threatened. Like, there's no stakes,
you know,
whatsoever.
What? And also, like, Nora, Speed Force Nora saying if, like, Barry dies and the whole timeline is erased, is that just, like, for now? Like, he has to die eventually. So,
right.
Right. can't live forever. So yeah, it's just like, I don't hate this storyline, and I did like the Eddie stuff, but I feel like we could have gone a lot more. And you guys are absolutely right. Like, Barry showing up halfway through the episode, Iris only having two scenes, and it's like the penultimate episode. And usually this is the point where we're like, we're supposed to be really excited going into like the final episode, like what's going to happen, what are the stakes? But it felt like they were just trying to wrap up Cecile's very, very boring storyline from the whole season about, you know, her being a superhero. And we haven't even seen that. Like, we see her be a superhero in 2049, but we're not seeing that in the present. So I feel like even if we had seen that, at least you'd be like, okay, well, we're wrapping that story up. But it didn't need to take up most of the episode. That did not need to happen. Her conversation with Chester was too long. She just looks ridiculous, and you know, the over the top acting for whatever reason remains. I feel no sympathy for her when she says that she questions whether she's a bad parent. I was like, I mean, I'm so sorry, you are though. Mm-hmm. And that's terrible. That's terrible writing. You're basically saying like she's not there for her family. And my one point, thank you, I think girl who writes on Twitter, because I made that exact point in my notes right here about Flash being able to be like a superhero, and yet Cecile can't see Joe more than 2 times a year. Like, that makes zero sense. I'm sure Jenna resents her, and the implication is also that like Joe is not in his daughter's life. Does he not see his grandchildren? Like, I don't understand how this works when you have a speedster as a son-in-law who can just take you places really quickly. So
have, like teleportation by 2049, like, you know, something, I don't know.
So like half of it doesn't make any sense, and people just don't also care about Cecile. Like, I don't understand the hard on for her in the writer's room. Like, zero. It makes zero sense. And it's just like frustrating at this point, because we're supposed to have the Flash and have him doing all these things coming up into the final run, basically, and he's nowhere to be found for most of it. We could have gotten so much more. And like, while the season is better in terms of like previous two seasons, the bar is also very low. I can't imagine what this season would have looked like actually with more episodes, because they've already like kind of messed it up with the only 13. So if we had had 22, we'd be, you know, 15 of those would have been filler episodes. probably. So it's just like really frustrating that such an interesting storyline didn't have the time to be more intriguing and be more like have more tension in it leading into the final one. Like, you're bringing back all these speedsters, like Zoom. I'm more threatened by Zoom right now, because this man is just terrifying, just standing there with his mask on, than anything Cobalt Blue has done so far. And like, he was struck by lightning, what, in the first part of this 4-part episode arc? And it's like, we haven't seen him use any of his powers at all. So, whatever. Anyway, it's just like generally frustrating overall. It feels rushed, but also kind of like really molasses slow watching Cecile kind of go through her shit, and I'm over it. What did our feedbackers think about this episode?
Am I correct that we only have feedback from Sonia? Because it's all I'm seeing right now.
Do we?
I think so.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Like, traitors. Traitors, all of you.
I don't even have the energy to send in hate mail.
All right. Sonia said, long time no feedback. We are grateful. The two episodes I missed were great, but so was my time away. I was in Dubai. Aww. Oh, and also she got engaged. She was starting her wedding.
Oh, congratulations.
Aww. Kind of disappointed we didn't get present Iris this entire episode. I wish they didn't have her going to labor so we could see her on screen in the present time, helping the team to find Barry. But at least we got to see future Iris. I honestly don't care about Cecile's storyline. It's super annoying how they make her powers so powerful to be able to be seen across timelines and whatnot, but then have her mess up a mission because she's sad. She's a horrible mother and wife. Like, no one cares.
You know what was also, pause, what was also, like, annoying? The fact that she's like, man, if I could only have felt that something was happening. It's like, well, why couldn't you?
Right.
that so-and-so was, like, messed up. Oh, Mark. That Mark had the crystal in him.
Right.
But you can project yourself 20 years in the future, but you can't, you couldn't feel that something was off. Like, I don't, you know, what's going on.
She was
on
like,
there?
Mark has no discernible qualities, so I couldn't tell that his qualities at the moment were were off.
He's bland that when he was kind of bland, I could not distinguish.
Anyway, couldn't they have given a bitter blonde wig to JPK to have her be Eddie and Iris's daughter? She looked like the Karen who asked to see the manager. Negative Speed Force infected Nora was great. It felt different than the last time she was on the show. And it shows what a great actress she is. Okay, cool. Yay. Speaking of great actress, acting, not actress, Rick has been amazing this entire time. The angry rant about how no one remembers him, how Barry stole his fiance, was amazing. And then when he was literally laughing maniacally while chest deep in Eddie's grave was fantastic. With the Negative Speed Force, I always compare it to Danielle P playing Killer Frost and how you couldn't tell the difference without the voice, hair, and makeup change. Compare that to JPK and Jesse, and I would believe it even without the voice changer and blue eyes because of their facial expressions. You could tell that they're playing different evil characters. I agree. Cecile pushing the Negative Speed Force out of Nora reminded me of how Strange did that to Peter in No Way Home. Virtue is a weird name. What does that even mean? It looks like the DC character is Holly Ann Fields, so I guess they just looked up all DC Comics characters that were empaths and chose one at random. Iris turning Eddie down is his villain origin story, which is petty, but then again, his descendant, Eobard, literally became a villain because Barry stole his thunder by saving people.
That's true.
It's like, yeah. Gizlethons are just petty bitches. Yeah. Why do they make Candace have gray hair while Cecile looks exactly the same? What the fuck? You're the Cecile from 2023, but in our Cecile's body? And then Chester said, here I thought today couldn't get any freakier. LMAO. Love the West Allen moment between present Barry and future Iris and the relation that they're happy in the future. Yay. Love seeing all the past villains in the crystal and Eddie making a singularity and that evil smirk. If Cisco doesn't come back in the last episode, I'll be so mad. I'm so sorry, bestie. He is not coming back. Speaking of the last episode, I'm excited for the finale, but I'll be away again. So probably no feedback, but I'll see if I can steal some time away to watch the episode, which I hope is full of West Allen. You and me both. Let's cross our fingers. The only other DC shows still on are Superman and Lois and Gotham Knights, and maybe not for long. It's been amazing having your podcast to listen to. I'm so glad I found you guys. And we're glad you found us, too. We love your feedback. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sonia. I forgot to mention in my dislikes the blue flowers, because what the fuck is up with that?
Yeah, I think that's just overused. That and the, I guess that's why they call it the blues. Like, if they had used Supermassive Black Hole, that would have been such a good song choice with the singularities. But I think that they were cool when you first saw them, but they're a little bit overused at this point.
Yeah. Like, are they supposed to, is there going to be an explanation? Because, like, there was like, one scene where the flowers overlapped the rest of it. It was weird editing, and I'm like, what is this? What's happening?
I think it's just, like, symbolic, because they're blue.
Yeah.
And Eddie's blue. So, whatever.
Yeah. And the episode was really dark, too. But, anyway, I'm not going to go off again.
I just think it's dark. Like, what is going on here?
The lights are all off. I don't understand. No one's paying the electricity bill. Who do we crown Lady with Gumption of the Week this week?
I'm going to give it to Nora because I'm not giving it to Cecile.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to give it to Nora, yeah. She had the gumption to trade dads.
She tried to take over. Genetics.
So close.
Terrible. Well, Nora is our Lady with Gumption of the Week. Tune in next week where we would discuss the series finale of the show, Tears, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of thoughts. Hopefully there's something to look forward to. So let us hope. Until next time, you can find us over on DCTV Gumption on Twitter, where you can follow our live tweets, send us your thoughts to ladieswgumption@gmail.com or asks2ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. And until next week, fare thee well, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.